Never been bored. And never a day I couldn't make $100. I'm willing to work and I won't cheat at cards.
Fred Nelson never devoted himself to one craft, but to many enterprises. He wasn't an artist or philosopher or musician, but he provided the coffee house, the 10 o'clock scholar, and the after bar parties where the artists gathered. In Minneapolis, Red Nelson is a legend, because for 20-odd years, beginning at the dawn of the 1960s, if you were looking for a party or looking for the pulse of a rootsy, raw art scene, all you had to do was find Red Nelson.
Red Nelson owned the Scholar Coffee House.
Mike Justin was newly separated from the Marines and paying for classes at the university by doing shift work.
I would often stop there and I'd go hang out there, or I'd go over. Red was famous for the rent parties.
Papa John Kolstad was a Wisconsin physics student on summer break in the Twin Cities when he met him.
And so after hours, or bars would close at 1, and there was people that didn't want to go to bed at 1 o'clock, the artists and poets and all that, musicians, they would. His place was a place that a lot of parties happened for years. Music played all the time, and it was sort of a haven, and was for 20 years. Actually, I'd met him after that. I didn't realize the connection. I met him at the Scholar the next summer. I went in to have the coffee at the Scholar, which was located right across from where the podium was, and there was this guy there running the place. I went over and told him it was the best coffee I'd ever had in my life. So then he went into this whole litany of what he did to make this coffee, his whole recipe. And it's like, whoa, this is no accident with this guy. He really knows what he's doing, you know.
Red Nelson was born James Nelson, the 29th of May, 1937. He graduated from Murray High School in St. Paul. He likes to say he was sentenced to the University of Minnesota. He had this little run-in with the law, and the juvenile judge gave him a choice: the military, jail, or university.
I was trouble walking.
And university courses were fine, but his real education came through the people he was meeting at the 10 o'clock Scholar, a dinky town coffee house, and Mixer's Bar on the West Bank.
There's an esprit de corps between madmen, geniuses, and outlaws. And they know their own kind, and they always speak to each other. So I'll talk to total strangers. I have a wonderful time. But I love people.
Nelson had never seen anything quite like the Scholar. The art on the walls, the air of revolution and intellectual ferment.
Again, it was this nebulous environment where you could have a new best friend. My personal new best friend would be just appear over a beer.
And lots of live music.
I remember Dylan being there doing a warm-up set. I can remember Kerner being on the stage. I can remember Dave Ray especially. Great sense of humor.
When given the opportunity to buy the Scholar in 1961, he didn't think twice.
You can't tell what part of your life is going to affect the rest of it.
At 1 a.m., when the Scholar and the bars closed, the party continued at Nelson's place. It was on the West Bank, and it was named Ground Zero. There was live music, and it was only a buck at the door, free for playing musicians.
They were called rent parties. Kerner's song Rent Party Rag and the Red Brick Palace both concerned those kind of parties. I did that for years. Well, it was right across the street from the Mixers where everybody drank. So we'd just go right across the street to Ground Zero. Anyway, we lived upstairs. There were two bedrooms up there. There was a dining room, and there was a kitchen. And then there was a bookcase that we built because there were some rooms in the back that were storage, and we had the bookcase did this. So just like a murder mystery. When the police came, we were having a party. We'd put it, all the underage people went in there. I say, you open your mouths, you're going to jail. Whoop. Police would come up, check everybody, and go home. We open the door, and they all come out.
Whoa, the drinking and dancing all night long. Early in the morning, yeah, they're still going strong. Well, the Red Palace is the name of the place.
When Ground Zero succumbed to fire, the rent parties gravitated to a 12-plex at 3rd and 13th on the West Bank. This one was called the Red Brick Palace.
And it had two entrances, and it had a little marquee over each entrance. But we painted the broken arms and the bad manners. All the misfits and all the people that couldn't rent anywhere else and all my friends, I filled the place with madmen.
The building was eventually razed when 35W came through, but not before a night so memorable that it became the subject of a song.
John Kerner's record, the boys were shooting it out last night. Squealer Saunders had a whorehouse next door. We got on well with the hookers, well with Saunders. On this particular night, I was having a party, and there was a lot of yelling and screaming out the street. We looked, and Saunders was throwing these people out of the building, and they decided that they'd just take over the hippies, and they arrived at the door and put a pistol in my face and demanded booze and drugs and what have you and intimidated everybody, and they were busy running around, and somehow I got my hands on a 20-gauge and marched them out the door. A gunfight ensued, I guess.
Papa John Kolstad.
There are just lots and lots and lots of great stories about Red, and but I think for this purposes, the most important thing about Red is that he maintained a place where people could come. He used the term, it'd be safe. I mean, nobody would hassle you. And he said he didn't allow takers. He only allowed givers. He wanted people who gave energy back into other people.
I'm one of the few people you'll meet that doesn't have a legitimate complaint. Like I say, any trouble I've ever had, I've brought on myself through indolence or intoxication. Other than that, it's been a great ride. I wouldn't trade it for the world.
Somebody ran right out the door, crying, Lord, don't shoot me no more. And the buzz, shooting it up last night.
This is Britt Omett for KFAI, where 10,000 Fresh Voices is made possible by a grant from the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund.